went to someplace like Lakeman.
And they never want to leave the room.
Yeah.
Bang.
Well, it's safer.
Yeah, way
maybe.
Safer.
No, but yeah, that is a concern. Yeah.
Yeah, of course, we are talking early October. Is it going to be dark by 6? Not quite.
Or if we do that later.
Later. What would you folks do?
Whenever I go to a conference and it gets over at 5, I'm itching to go do my own stuff. I will be in Vernal, but I probably won't be at your poster contest. That's just one.
Well, I mean, that's what we're asking.
I see a bunch of people flock for their mountain bikes, grab their kids, go swimming and other stuff, so I don't see them coming back at 7:30 for that. Not that it's a bad idea, but I just don't see it happening.
Yeah. I kind of think it should be at the very end of the presentations for the day, like 5 and 6 or something like that, rather than they go home, or go back to their, go eat dinner and go do other stuff, and then have to come back.
Well, yeah, but still, though, I mean, depending on where we're at, if we're designed, well, even in front of me, there's stuff to do, as I might just say, no, you know, I don't need to see the posters. I'm going to go do stuff, so I like that idea of doing it during lunch.
Yeah. Give them an hour and a half, I could guess.
Lengthen,
an hour and a half at lunch.
Lengthen the lunch a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just have a buffet, and people can walk around at their leisure, and I think it would have more of an attendance than if we do it after, so.
Unless we were to do it like as a dinner, a hosted dinner. I mean, would that bring you back, Jen? You think, you know, if we're paying for dinner?
I'll do about anything for dinner someday.
I mean, I'm just saying, because I mean, I'm of a like mind.
I like an hour and a half lunch myself, mm-hmm. just because I really do think families kind of try to stop thinking about work at 5 and go do something fun, even if this is fun. That's what I'm thinking, if we can incorporate within the work. Okay.
If you invite somebody, you could do it during lunch, just to see how, I mean, for the first one, if an agency or something, they can drive to Vernal and drive home.
True.
Yeah. Otherwise, you're going to, if you do it at 5 to 6, you're stuck with an overnight, so the expense of it might be, to some people, it wouldn't be
interesting. Maybe for this particular one, since we have Creighton, that would be a good way. He could have his own little booth.
Sell his book. Which is an excellent book, by the way.
And out in the lobby.
You just want to have some face time to see him, conversation with him, so.
Okay. Yeah, okay. We'll work with that.
Okay. All right, back to you, Bob, with the financial report.
Okay, so if you go to tab C, you don't have to. You just look there in the summary. You can see basically the information, what the totals surcharge totals. I haven't gotten, obviously, right yet. Because I haven't gotten June's yet. July. So you can see what they are compared, you know, from this year, last year. Probably the one you're more interested in is over in tab D, which is the budget comparison report. Again, the challenge with that report is that we don't get final numbers until July, August timeframe. For example, the reimbursement on Don and Tyson's grants, we won't get those numbers until later. Final salary numbers, we don't get till later. I won't know what doesn't affect that next year, but I get the surcharge carryover for next year numbers. There are still some registration conference fees and some PIMS fees that we haven't collected. So, you know, you can take a look at that. The one thing, if you saw the email that I sent out when I sent out the new comparison report, this one is much better because I had put the numbers in that we were going to receive. We had a good year this year in terms of surcharge carryover. Normally it's about $50,000. That's what I projected for next year. This last year was $105,190. And so I had failed to plug those numbers in that we, in terms of that we have received it as income. So when I did that, you can see at the end of the comparison report that it's projecting that we're going to end the year on a fairly good fiscal note. It says $82,000, that will change just because, again, some additional expenses that will come in, the UPA conference, some other things, but I think that we're going to have a healthy year in terms of end of the year. So anybody have any questions on the comparison report? Okay. Then the proposed budget. I jumped the gun, obviously. I'm gonna come back in September anyway with a proposed budget. So there was a reimbursement from SWAC that I accounted for, that I will pull those numbers back and readjust the budget, anticipating that we were going to receive a reimbursement from SWAC. For those of you that aren't aware, Paul brought to my attention maybe about 8-10 weeks ago, and then I didn't follow it up because of the legislative update. But the bottom line is, Paul approached me and said that it was his understanding that SWAC was supposed to reimburse UPC for the cost of civil conference. The justification being that UPC's enabling statute says that we train prosecutors, state local prosecutors, not necessarily government attorneys. And so for that reason, I guess, and this is way before my time, but SWAT was, I guess, organizing and planning the civil conference, but because that's what UPC did best was you know, plan conferences, things like that. UPC took over the planning, we paid for everything, and then we just got reimbursed by SWAT. That stopped, you know, I guess many years ago, and then Paul just brought it to my attention and said that he felt like SWAT should reimburse us, but SWAT has tabled that, so disregard that. But we probably want to talk about that is, are we going to follow the strict definition of our statute that we train prosecutors and not government attorneys? And if so, then maybe SWAT should pay for that.
Well, and see, that was, and I don't know if anybody else recalls that. I wish that Jamie would have stayed here. My recollection, she said that UPC was in trouble one time, and so SWAP agreed to do that. My recollection is that the time that we ran into some fiscal difficulties, the AG's office waived our fees for the year, the rent fee, which was like about 10 grand at the time. So I don't recall SWAP coming to our rescue, but that was always my understanding, that we administratively would go ahead and help them out, but yeah, the SWAP was going to take care of that. I mean, I don't have any specific recollection. That's just, you know, my general thought. And maybe you need to go back to Mark Nash and say...
Well, no, okay, so because we didn't get to it, so here's then what Mark chimed in. So Mark and Paul and I had an email conversation, and Mark's recollection was that, yes, we used to bill SWAP, but then USIP and UAA came in and started to subsidize the conference. I went back and looked at... our accounting and our program, USIP has reimbursed us the last 2 years, $250 last year, a donation, $187 the year before. They do pay for their own block of instruction, and so they cover that in terms of expense for their speakers and things like that. But in terms of the overall conference, we haven't been reimbursed by SWAP.
We've never been reimbursed, ever.
Yeah,
in my recollection, or the records that I looked at, it's just okay. Been this little, you know, I'll pay for the
one. Yeah, UAC, they have contributed towards the county executive conference, but they haven't contributed. But on our records, as I was looking at our list of deposits from UAC, they have never contributed towards civil conference. And so that is going to be one thing that I would propose is, I don't know if it's UCDAA that, you know, goes to them, or if you want it to be UPC that goes to USIP and UAC to say, will you commit to X number of dollars per conference per year? And, you know, then we can account for that in our system, because I noticed that also when we have gotten those small donations from them, we haven't, you know, we show that as a deposit, but we're not accounting for it in terms of income versus expense. But,
well, see, and so it's, yeah, so I've got that concern, because it was just one of those things where UPC just all of a sudden started doing their conference for them, where they had foot the bill before that. And I recall the conversation when UPC agreed to do that for them. I said, you know, just be careful, because the Utah Municipal Attorney Association may come and ask you to do the same thing. And I mean, they haven't yet, they've got their own organization, but I mean, that's why, I don't know. I mean, I think that we need to stay training prosecutors. That's just my thought. I mean, I don't care that we facilitate them, obviously. I mean, we're all in this together, but I don't know that the whole thing should be on our nickel. send the lone wolves.
So the table swap will meet before the council meets next time. So I mean, what guidance do you have for us when we go back to swap as a council?
My memory of that is when we took on the civil planning and everything, Mark adjusted the budget and put civil in as a line item.
Okay.
And we've never been reimbursed.
Yeah, and so that's the other thing is, so when I went into our budget, I don't know if any of you are familiar with QuickBooks, but it's got every account that you create, it never goes away. You can deactivate it, you know, make it an inactive account. And so when I went and looked, so it actually is a line of reimbursement from swap for civil conference as well as for the county executive conference. Typically, it's just Marilyn and I or UGC staff that goes to county executives. I don't know that we need to be reimbursed for that. You know, I guess we'll take the money. There was one year where we brought in a guest speaker, paid him a $900 honorarium, paid a lot of lodging, travel for non-UGC staff. So that might be the only thing that might be worth discussing, if you know, swap reimburses UGC for those expenses. But the big one is obviously civil conference. It's $12,000 to $14,000 a year. And they like swag. So.
And they like to bring extra presenters at the last minute.
Yeah, it's more expensive than like Umba and you know some of the other conferences.
I don't have a problem with the civil because some offices we have to do both.
Right.
And we need the access to it. So from my perspective, I don't have a problem.
With UGC paying for that?
UPC help with
it. Okay.
You know, it makes sense to me that the UPC still has that on the agenda so that we're not overlapping, we're not, things are kept straight. But if it's a money issue, then maybe we need to look at that, talking to, you know, swap, UCDA, whoever, say, this conference should be paid some other way. But I hate to say, okay, we're just throwing that out, someone else is going to pick that up, and we don't have any organization for it.
Well, and then maybe what we do, if we want to hang on to it, if he's saying it's more expensive, when we give them a budget, this is what it is you have to work with them.
And I will say, I've been to the government conference a lot of times. There is about half of it there that is very related to the prosecution.
Right, and don't get me wrong, I mean, I'm not saying that, oh, you owe us this money, because I never would have realized it, you know, so it was Paul that brought it up, and Paul had felt that those costs should be more. And I don't know, county attorney, if you know the answer to this, is the original agreement you had with SWAP, you know, the money that you paid them was to cover for that conference. But I don't know the answer to that.
I don't either. I'm just saying, going forward, I think UPC probably will do a better job of keeping it up.
Right. Oh, right. Yes, Scott. And I'm not saying that.
Yeah, we'll still do it.
We should divest ourselves. We'll still help plan all that.
But I think the question that Steve's raising is that, okay, if it's an X amount of money, what are we paying for? And, I didn't have a lot of discussion with you at all, other than you said, look, I think we're supposed to be saying that we do get the bill and it would be the biker. It's like, okay, what would you like to do? Let's go ahead and get that money to them, because they use that money to benefit all of us in the training. People got the benefit of that training. And we want to be able to make sure that those resources are there. Now, if the issue is that this is such a separate, unique thing, then it is a legitimate thing. Maybe UPC should get rid of the civil thing, and then we're going to have to figure out how to pick it up. Then, you know, I'm really prepared to do that. Or we say, no, you got it, there are real costs. And if we're saying that there are real costs going forward, that there were real costs in the last 4 or 5 years, and fairness would dictate that we give them the resources. This is, and I guess my thing is, it's not like anybody else's pockets are getting lined up. We are all in this together, collectively. At the end of the day, we're helping each other out with our long-term objectives. So when we put on our county attorney hat on, or we put on a prosecution hat on, or when we got a municipal prosecutor hat on, I don't make a difference if a municipal prosecutor calls me up and says, hey, can you help me with this? We said, yeah, you're a fellow prosecutor, you're a sister jurisdiction and a government practice. We'll help you with whatever you need. So to me, it's a issue of simply saying what is fair, and if this is something, a service that people have benefited from, then we should, and if we, you know, I guess the thing is that if we can rationalize paying going forward, which I understand, and if there was some, obviously if there's line items that have been entered in there, at one point indicated there was that was supposed to happen, and we're pretty flush and swap with it, with some money, so we should take care of that responsibility. That's the way I look at it. So at the end, we all get the benefit from it.
We're happy to do it.
Or in the alternative, you're saying, you know what, we don't need the money, but that's good too. We won't give you money.
I look at it as we've got three organizations here, we've got so much money. It's really kind of how I look at it at the county.
Yeah.
Is the sheriff or me going to pay for it? Well, the county manager's going to pay for it. Whichever budget's coming out of, that's the one he's got to reimburse. So.
Yeah.
I mean, what I will say that if I didn't have to budget for, you know, $12,000 for civil conference, we could do a domestic violence boot camp that Donna's talked about.
Yeah.
You know, there's some other special, you know, we could do this specific advanced training, you know, for prosecutors. I mean, I can see that we could up our services, or at the very least, we could start printing materials again to hand out at conferences.
Yeah, and I think at the end, you know, it's just about expanding capacity to provide a diversity of different trainings that we can, right? I mean, we've partnered up with you guys before saying, hey, what are opportunities for us to partner up? We're not asking for money from other organizations if this will benefit us collectively, let's just go ahead and invest it. You know,
right.
That's it.
Right.
So.
Hey, direction from the council. I guess our inaction would just be wait to see what SWAP's decision is.
Just press the claim with SWAP and see.
And I would just ask if you can dig up any information that you have that gives us a chance, any light that would be helpful to, I think, people from the SWAP side of the
shadow. Yeah. Right. And I try to do that again. You know, I emailed it to you. I apologize that it's long, so I'm trying to anticipate. So in the packet that I presented at SWAP, that you all got emailed, I mean, it's got spreadsheets and it's got probably more information than you really need or want. But yeah, we'll try to.
You mean 115 pages?
Yeah. Well, that was this one. We haven't gotten to the reason for the length of your UDC agenda.
Okay.
We're getting there.
All right.
Okay, then non-lapse and carryover. I just projected that based on the last 4 years. I didn't include the 105,000 this last year. I projected about 50,000 because that's typically what it's been, but maybe it'll be more. PIMS income, if you're interested in how I determine that amount, there's my little spreadsheet of formula there. I just eliminated those who have left PIMS, who I think might continue to use PIMS for the next year until we can get a case management system, and then cut it in half in terms of what those user fees are going to be. It's not very scientific, but I didn't want to hold. My goal is really to start getting quit relying on parents' income in terms of our budget, just because we know it is going to go away. So maybe next year it will be more, depending upon when we get a case management system. So that's where that came from. And then, as I said, the 105,000, 105,000, 109,000, I have appropriately put that in to the income. And then, because I was thinking that we would get, you know, we would receive that from SWAP, I actually just added some additional 1,000 here, 1,000 there to some of the conferences. So if in fact SWAP chooses not to reimburse us that, which, you know, we can deal with, we'll just reduce the amount that we budget for each of the conferences. I put it in there thinking, you know, we might be able to, you know, print materials and then do some other things. So. If we were not to get that 42,000, we'd still be fine. So does anybody have any questions on the proposed budget or areas that I didn't address?
All right, thank you.
Motion
to regarding the proposed budget. Understanding that there's going to still be some adjustments to it based on Bob's presentation. Okay, Stephen Foote moves to approve the proposed budget. Do I have a second?
A second.
All right, second, Barry. Any discussion on that motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right.
Thank you.
Training committee report. Training committee has not met since our last meeting. Just as far as information and the input from the council, though, as Bob put in the executive summary, as we know that Laura DePay has retired, and Matt Bates will now be taking the bench, and we've relied on them for the last several years with our Supreme Court update. We had John Nielsen participate this last year, and figured that we'll probably keep relying upon him. You see in your summary there that he's put out three names that recommend a co-participant in that presentation. He's got Ryan Tenney, Blair Wardle, and Peter Levitt as possibles. Anybody either have a strong feeling on any of those, or have somebody else that we'd like to, that you'd like to see co-present that with John?
And then can we come back and just, for those who are at spring, maybe get some feedback on John's performance? But
sure. All right, let's go back to John's performance.
Okay. And what did you guys think? Now, granted, let me preface this. John was put in a difficult position in that we recruited him at the last minute, and Laura was reluctant to give up some of her cases because she was her last time. She enjoys it, so John didn't get a whole lot. But for those that remember, what did you think John's performance? Is he something that you want you to see your training with to continue to invite back to do this?
I thought he did a good job. I thought he did a very good job.
Has he been through your trainer?
No, unfortunately, he was going to come, but he had an argument. It was before the Court of Appeals or the Supreme Court the week we did train the trainer, so he wasn't able to go through it.
I don't even remember him that much.
I don't
he
either.
He was overshadowed by Laura's final farewell.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. He was kind of a disadvantage. He has done the Supreme Court case update for fall conference by himself, so we'll get a better idea. But I was just curious if anybody had any distinct memories on how he did it. So.
He certainly wasn't as good as Laura at match, but obviously that's going to be the case.
Mm-hmm. I recognize also he got some really dry material on that.
Yeah, like I said, Laura kept the good stuff for himself.
He's definitely intellectual.
I have a weird question. Does it have to be a prosecutor? Could a judge do it?
Well, we have to have the judge speak. We have to open up to defense counsel and across the board. No, I mean, we do. I don't know.
I was just thinking we used to open up to it. Fred Lohr.
Didn't we used to have a judge do it?
Well, Boyce.
Boyce, retired.
He was retired. We can have retired judges, but not actually.
Is that a CLA thing? Or?
Yeah. I hate to say it, but that's always where it's always been. And I'm not quite sure why. Mark will know why.
I mean, because we have judges come and talk about things like civility and ethics, so why couldn't we have?
Is this the legislative one?
Yeah.
The Supreme Court, the appellate update.
The case law.
I think you have to be careful because they may be opining in a way that might reflect a bias in a future ruling. So it is about the neutrality of their issues that may come. So if I'm a plaintiff's attorney or if I'm a defendant and I say, oh, this judge made this kind of comment there, and when talking about, that's the way I would collaterally attack it. So I think historically the idea is that when it comes to case law issues, those are the context of their original review of a particular issue rather than opining on it, at least on outside.
Well, and it would also hamper their editorializing on the case as well.
That's part. I think this does this, and I think this goes this way, and this is what the impact is, right?
And you know,
I was just thinking,
I kind of like the fact that we're prosecutors. We want to have a prosecutor's slant. Mm-hmm. We want to have the how this applies to you, how it affects you.
Right.
And I think a judge would come in and say, I'm just reporting the facts.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Can we maybe just evaluate him at the next one, and then if he does a great job, just take his suggestion of who can help him? I mean, he's a volunteer, really.
We've got Ken Wallentine's back, too. I don't
know. Ken's great, too.
He's always done pretty well with that. But last time he also assessed us, he charged us an honorarium or something like that last time he did it.
In Barry, I mean, that would have been our hope, is that we could have had John, but then have, you know, enough time between the presenter and spring conference, because on the plus side, we almost want to try to identify who we want for next spring and start accumulating that, because, I mean, it's a huge endeavor.
Oh, yeah.
And if we wait until mid-October, then they've just got from October till April, you know, to put everything together.
I think they start in January.
I don't know when they start.
I think they start in about January.
Who's Laura's replacement?
Tom Brunker.
Yeah.
He's smart, but he's kind of right.
Yeah. There was a suggestion of Marion Decker, but she's incredibly busy, and so.
I've had her name suggested, and also John Nielsen.
John was in the attorney's office.
Yeah, he's in the U.S. attorney's office.
He's not the head.
John Nelson.
His first suggestion was Ryan Tenney, who's at the U.S. Attorney's Office now, just because they know each other, they've worked together for a long time, but I don't know anything. I actually don't know anything about any of these guys.
Yeah, we're not limited to those three. Those are just his recommendations.
No, right. Those are just suggestions. So we're just looking for other suggestions.
And a good point is that they've not been to training.
And I just wonder if someone with the U.S. Attorney's Office would pay attention to the details that we're interested in at the state
right,
level.
Right.
Just a thought.
Laura wouldn't volunteer doing it.
And she might. It would. You know, we'd pay her an honorarium that we haven't been able to do in the past. We'd pay Matt, and so we'd pay Laura.
Did Laura have suggestions about who would be good?
John Nelson.
I
think it's pretty articulate. He knows. It's just, I really like to have two, so that's really what we're just looking for is another name.
Peter Lowe is a good trial. I don't know.
Peter Lowe is really good. The only thing that I would say about Peter, he would be phenomenal. But he wasn't trained to train. If that's okay with everybody.
I'm not holding to that standard. I just heard you say you had some superstars that came out of there, and so I wondered if any of those had an interest in legislative things.
They could.
He was invited to it, but he couldn't go to train, which Peter would be.
Yeah. Donna Marie was another one from Sim's office, was another one that was a really good performer. She's speaking at doing the ethics presentation at Umba.
If you have people that perform good at that, you might put some feelers out and see if anyone would want to specialize in this.
Yeah.
Work their mirrors on.
You reach out to some in your office so they feel good with them.
Yeah.
And
the reason I say that, not because we don't want to have people go there, but I have people that also go everywhere.
Right.
We have to have the coordination with the size of the
office. Right. Okay. Let's see. The last thing is Will. I didn't know that Will had you taking over for Chad, sort of. Is that what it is?
Yes.
Okay. Because I put on here, find. Well, I guess I'm presuming that Paul is going to want to do a legislative update again next year.
So from our perspective, Will. Responsibilities that Chad used to do. He's working coordinating with Paul under Paul's mentorship that and also Will in his own right had been a lobbyist that only held for 3 years and so he brings up closer to talk to
him about that. Will has another training trainer.
I'm not saying that it's
No. I that was more tongue in cheek that time. Just because he's sitting here.
We're going to have it more often, so we want to get our.
We're hoping
to have it again. So
I think it's always good to have at least two or three people there. So this is a good thing for us to learn. that we get too reliant on one person or, you know, whatever, that puts us at a risk. Even at my office, we just sort of said, what is our bench depth? You know, what is our bench depth? We should seek out two or three people and maybe rotate them so one person